in a new, undisclosed location on the East Coast. It's time now for Super Psychologist Dr. Mary Karpel and your golden years. Find out what she and her international guests know that you don't.
All right. I hope you can hear me now. Having a little sound trouble here. Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mary Karpel and your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarykarpel.com. And today is Sunday, August the 4th, 2024, and I'm psychologist Dr. Mary Karpel, and we are back live with another great program, and I hope we have good technology working this evening. That's always a risk. Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here with us to do his best. To make this show run. And we're going to do a little test here and see if our guest, Terry, can hear. Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. We can hear you. Great. All right. We're going to get on with this show. We have a little bit of technology problems. So now we're going to go with the show in a little while after the break. Terry will be back on. He's a worldwide speaker, blogger, author of several books, and he has been on this show several times before. And Terry's also the creator of The Sabbath Moment, a weekly inspirational newsletter. And he's always great at helping us to make sense of this crazy world, or at least to find some peace within it. So I hope you can help us with that tonight. And then later in the program, Lena Brackey French will join us from Connecticut. And Lena is a caregiver, and she's the founder of a virtual caregiver support group, Caregiver's Voice. And after the show, you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, and the link to the podcast will be posted later tonight, along with all of the website links that we discuss on the program. And you can also hear the podcast in as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And you'll also be able to hear us on Apple Podcasts in as soon as 5 minutes after the show. For information from previous programs and to listen to previous programs, go to drmarykarpel.com, or you can listen to all of the shows dating back to 2014 by going to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And all of those shows are also on Apple Podcasts. And for upcoming programs and events, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mary Karpel, Your Golden Years. This program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment and Psyched Up Productions. And we're going to take a brief break, make sure everything's running smoothly. We'll play one of our sponsors' commercials, and we will be back shortly with author and speaker Terry Hershey. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super Psychologist Dr. Mary Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors. Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed services or supplies you never received. There are three easy things you can do to prevent fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and look for any suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or call your local Medicare SHIP program at 1-800-252-9240.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karp-Pell and your Golden Years on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpell.com. And now joining us on the phone, it's been a while, but Terry Hershey is back. He's the author of several books, including The Power of Pause, This is the Life, Sanctuary, Creating a Space for Grace in Your Life, Stand Still, Finding Balance When the World Turns Upside Down. And Terry is also the creator of The Sabbath Moment. Welcome, Terry. It's been a while.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be back on.
I'm glad, especially
after our technology stuff, yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, you were supposed to be on, and that was when we had that worldwide problem, and I guess Blog Talk Radio was affected by that, too. So,
that's true.
I'm glad that we were able to make it work tonight, even though it's a little bit strange. The technology's working a little strangely, so we'll get through this.
Well, I'm delighted to be on. I'm delighted.
So I looked it up, and it's been 2 years since you were on the program last. And the world has definitely not gotten more peaceful or less chaotic since that time. So I really am glad that you're here to kind of help us, bring us back to a place of balance, because you always do that. I don't know if you realize, I know that you intend to do that. I don't know if you know how powerful your words are. So I have some things that you've written that I have written down, and when I feel really out of balance about the world, I reread those words just to bring myself back to center. So,
well, yeah, thank you. Well, the crazy part, I mean, yes, to the craziness, and the unfortunate reality of that is we're drawn to that, and we see primarily what we consider craziness because we can't necessarily put our arms around it. And because our hope, our assumption deep down is that we should be able to figure it out, contain it. There should be a box we can put it in somehow, because then that will take care of it. And so when we can't do it that way, then that's what kicks in the anxiety and the frustration and all of that other stuff. And it makes sense that it takes a toll on us. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing I was thinking about and writing about is in one of the books you mentioned, it's called Stand Still, is during the COVID year, I lived on an island here in the Pacific Northwest, and every day I would walk by a field where there was a flock of sheep. And because the travel work I used to do, I couldn't do during that year, so I didn't have any group to talk to. So I would stop by them every day and give them a little sermon. So they were my new audience, and I just have to tell you that they were the best audience I've ever had. So. But anyway, I was thinking about this topic that we're talking about now. And in one of my visits with the sheep, because, you know, life fell upside down during COVID, and then now the exacerbation of other things that have gone on in our world, including what feels like unbelievable divisiveness. And so I asked the sheep one day, I said, you guys got to help me, because you seem to like live in the present without any anxiety. So I just need your help. how do you do that? And they said to me, it helps us to distinguish between the big world and the small world. And I thought, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the craziness gets me because I see only the big world. And I say to myself, what can I do? And the answer is, in the big world, almost literally nothing. And so
right.
then we feel at the mercy of. We feel, mm-hmm. why even try? We feel, what's the point? And I forget the fact that there's also a small world. And the small world, even if it's inconvenient or painful or messy, is the world where I stand right now. In other words, it's the world where I can literally care one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally the world where in the big world, I could get frustrated and yell and whatever, but in the small world, I can literally give a damn. And I can try, and I can love, and I can fall down, and I can get up, and I can embrace, and I can, in other words, I can begin with just one kind word in
mm-hmm.
my small world. And that's a new way to focus, a new permission to pay attention, to be right here now. And that makes a difference.
You know, I think it's that you wrote something about that on your social media. And that is the quote that I keep repeating to myself about paying attention to the small world around me. Yep. Yep. Because I think, you know, especially, you know, I think a lot of us really care about what's going on in the world. And I think that it can be extremely overwhelming, like you said. If we care, we feel like we can't do anything. We don't have any power. But we do have power in the world around us.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, for example, I want to live in a world where there is justice, not injustice. I want to live in a world where there's inclusion, not exclusion, these kind of things. I want to live in that kind of world. And what I forget is that to make a difference in that world, it just takes a human who cares, just one person at a time in front of me. I mean, I may look at injustices and say, I need to do a difference. But, I mean, I got to take Dr. King's model. He started with the individuals who were around him. Start there. That's
mm-hmm.
where I began.
Right. And it can make a really huge difference, right? We talk about the butterfly effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
One act of kindness just can spread out pretty far in the world.
Yeah, it's amazing the capacity of what spills. And when I think about that gift, I mean, you think about someone who's given you that gift in a small way at one time, and it only empowers you to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then I can pass that on. And the other thing about that is even passing on one kind word at a time, one kind gesture at a time, one hug that really is meant to include, not exclude, you know? One gift of kindness that is meant to be just, not unjust. I mean, that in that small way, when I see that with the person standing right in front of me. And see, if I see only the big world, this is what's interesting. When I see only the big world, I miss the human being standing right in front of me. I miss them because I see beyond them to all the stuff that I should be doing out there, forgetting that there's no out there unless there's a right here.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I think if you look back at, you know, a lot of people who have gotten involved in trying to save the world, going way back generations, and they lost their relationships with their own family because they forgot about their families. They forgot about the people in their lives.
Yeah, and that's the incredible thing about start in the small world too, is that if I'm present, in other words, if I can be here now, then I'm in a more grounded place. And mm-hmm. if I'm more grounded, I'm more replenished in my spirit, so I have more to give. I'm not as depleted. And that makes all the difference. And I probably told this story myself at the moment, but about the boy on the beach, he was throwing starfish out into the ocean, and there was an old man that said, "Why are you throwing a starfish out of the ocean?" Because the beach was covered with starfish that had been washed up. And the boy said, "Well, because if they don't get out into the ocean, they'll die, and this way that they'll live." And the man said, "But there's thousands of them. What difference does it make?"
Uh-huh.
And the boy picked up the starfish next to him, threw it in, and said it made a difference to that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes a difference to that one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful story.
And I encourage people to, that's the thing too, is if I begin here in the present moment, I am also give myself the permission to be gentle with myself and be kind with this Terry, because now from that grounded place, I can make a difference. I am not as overwhelmed by the craziness because my mind isn't out there.
Right. So you can be compassionate with yourself.
Yes. Self-compassion is actually the beginning of compassion to the world. I mean, that's the thing. For those of us in the Christian faith, that's the whole point that Jesus taught. So, so if you can't be compassionate with yourself, what makes you think you're going to start with a group of people you don't even know outside?
Right, right. Well, a lot of people think that, you know, self-compassion is selfishness. And I think that that's kind of upside down. It's not, it doesn't make sense, but that's...
No, because I want, here's the deal. I want to give you the best me I can give you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you the most grounded me I can give you. I want to give you the most at peaceful me I can give you. I want to give you that me. And to give you that me, that me needs to be emotionally and spiritually hydrated. That's what self-compassion is.
Right.
And I tell you what, because I've said this to because I'm honored to work with the medical fields, and I tell them, I'm glad for what you do, I really am, but I want you to make sure you take time for your own emotional and spiritual hydration, which is the self-care part. And I said, here's the deal, it's very selfish, I want you to do that because one day I need one of you.
Right. Right.
And I want you to be at home in your own skin.
Right. You don't want an exhausted surgeon.
Exactly. Because we all know what it's like when we live that kind of crazy exhaustion, and the big world can do that to us, because then I'm not really there. It's like the little boy that said to his mama, "Mama, mama, listen to me, but this time with your eyes." In other words, be here. Be here.
Yep, yep.
That's the small world right there. Listen to me this time with your eyes.
Now, I know you recently wrote some quotes about compassion, quoting Henry Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Yeah, Henry Nguyen, yep.
You wrote, "Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into the places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. And it challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, and to weep with those in tears." It requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, and powerless with the powerless. I think that a lot of people are really fearful of feeling those feelings. And I think what you were just talking about with self-compassion is really important, because we're not able to do any of that if we haven't nourished ourselves enough to be strong enough to be able to go into that pain with another person.
Yeah, and so the self-compassion is to start there, the internal part. And the gift of that is the self-compassion acknowledges that there's a light inside of me that's stronger than I know. And I want to honor that. And when I honor that, it tells me that there's a truth about Terry that's bigger than any broken places. There's a truth about Terry that's bigger than any sadness. In other words, I can take the brokenness and the sadness and all the stuff, and if I don't believe the truth of Terry, then I assume that's all that I am. But when I honor the gift of that inside of me, then I'm not afraid of that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, but it's not the complete truth of who I am.
Right.
And in Nouwen's point is now I can enter into that with other people.
Right. And just by doing that with another person, even just one other person, can start to heal the world, don't you think?
Well, that's the whole, yeah, and that's the thing. That's the power of it. The little girl who came home from school and she's crying and her mom says, oh, dear, oh, what happened? She said, Mom, I had a bad day. Oh, I see that. What's wrong? And the mom's really worried. And she said, my best friend Susie, her favorite cat died, and it was her favorite cat, and she was really, really sad and very, very sad. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, honey. And she said, yes, and I'm sorry, I was a bad friend. And she said, why? Why were you a bad friend? She said, because I didn't know what to tell Susie.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, honey, well, what did you do? She said, I just held her hand and cried with her all day.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the deal. That's the affirmation of what we've just been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the affirmation of that gift, just to be here, just be here. And that's enough. It's that gift of enough. That
right.
This is not anything I have to solve. Is it painful? Yes. But is there still the strength of love and kindness inside? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to feel believed by somebody.
Yeah, actually,
right.
That's in other words, you're seen. Someone sees you.
Yes. Yes. You know, I've been talking quite a bit lately about supporting caregivers, family caregivers. And,
good.
You know, yeah, and I was a caregiver for my mom, and some of the obstacles that I came across were things that I didn't expect. And so when I talked to other people who had never been through it, or even professionals who, you know, I talked to about it who had never been through it, they couldn't believe that it happened. And it wasn't until people believed me that I was able to have the strength to figure out what to do next. So I see that is one of the most important ways of supporting caregivers, to actually believe what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. And when you were doing caregiving, what did you do for your own replenishment, self-nourishment?
Well, I stayed in touch with friends who believed me.
There you go. Okay.
Yep, that was a big part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And because it was a place that you felt grounded, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
that was, I think that was the most important part of it for me, was that there were people who listened and who believed and didn't think I was exaggerating or making something up or whatever. I don't know what people thought. That was really, really important. And that in getting out in nature, I know you talk about that a lot, but
yes,
I went for a lot of walks.
Yes. Yeah. I still do that. I walk every day, and I walk in the forests here where I live. And first of all, it's the permission to slow down, the permission to pause, and the permission to not let whatever voices of the, quote, big world undo mm-hmm. you, undo me. And to remember that there's a part of me that can be honored and replenished and seen, and that Terry can make a difference in the small world.
Right. Right. I remember I was living in New York on 9/11, and I remember after 9/11, I was working in a nursing home in a beautiful part of Westchester County. It was right over the Hudson River. It was like right on a cliff overlooking the river. And, you know, everybody was really in shock, and it was a really pretty stressful time in the New York area. But I would purposely park my car on the other end of the parking lot so that I would have to walk along the cliff overlooking the river on my way into work. And I remember stopping one time and just saying, well, not everything is bad in the world. I have to remember this. Look at this. And there were geese flying overhead, and the leaves were changing colors across the way in the palisades. And I think that's really important. And I think that's part of, you know, what you're talking about, this world right around us, this small world, being able to see that not everything is bad, even when things seem to be going badly.
Yeah, it's the phrase that it was given to it in the 1700s. It's called the sacrament of the present moment, that in this moment, there is grace and sacredness, and it's there, it's real. And pausing, parking your car at a place where you could walk, and pausing enables us to see that. And one of the gifts I encourage people to do is to find ways to say thank you for those moments each day, or at the end of each day, to remember that. Because if we can't pause and say thank you for even those gifts, we still are overcome by the big world we can't completely contemplate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So do you mean keeping a gratitude list or something of that nature?
Yes, even if it's not written. But there's a Jewish prayer about brachot, you know, sometimes they use it simply relative to meals, but it's about the being thankful for first things. But it's about literally, you know, you see the first sunlight, you say thank you. You take the first sip of coffee, you say thank you. You see the first smile from somebody, you say thank you. You see the, as you're walking from your car, the geese flying, you say thank you, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a list in that way. It's a mental list. And it doesn't hurt at the end, because think about what we usually do at the end of the day. We say to one another, what did you do? Meaning, what did you accomplish? What if we ask, what did you see that you were grateful for in our world? Because those gifts of gratitude we take with us into this moment and into the next moment.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we make a difference in our small world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of research about gratitude,
yeah.
You know, actually changes our brain.
Yeah, it does. It rewires us. There is zero doubt about that.
Yep. When I remember to do it, I do it.
Well, okay, the memory thing, that'll have to be a whole nother show.
That's right. But I think if we make it into a habit, we remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, habits, rituals, I use the phrase ritual because a ritual, it's a rewiring. You're rewiring yourself, and it makes a huge difference. It's huge. And I start by asking the question today, tell me what you're grateful for.
Right. Sometimes I'm just grateful for my cup of coffee in the morning.
As you should, as long as it's nice, strong coffee and not that weak stuff.
That's right. I'm not fully awake in the morning, and it's hard for me to think, but that first sip of coffee that wakes me up, and I know that I'm grateful for it.
There you go.
So Terry, do you have any new books coming out? You've written so many. Anything new?
I have a book that's a journal for people. It's called The Gift of Enough, and it's basically little reflections about some of the stuff that we've been talking about even during this time. And then it gives people a page to write their own reflections about it. So,
great. Is that where can people get that on your website, on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get it on both terryhershey.com. You can get it on Amazon. It's called The Gift of Enough. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And have you been out and about giving talks now that things are opened up again?
Yeah, now I go back out. I decided not to do the same schedule I used to before COVID, but I do a reduced schedule, which is actually smarter, more beneficial for me, which I'm grateful for. But yeah, I just got home from California doing a couple of events down there, and so I'm grateful. I talk to people in churches or religious organizations. I talk to people in medical facilities, and I talk to people in schools. So those three groups I talk to. And it's basically about if we can't find our own self-care, let me rephrase that. Our self-care helps us be better at what we do.
Absolutely. I mean, I 100% agree with you, especially in the kind of work that I do. If I don't take care of myself, I'm not as good at what I do as I could be. I'll put it that way.
At 100% true, yes.
Right. You know, we can all push through. We can all kind of push and kind of fake it.
Yeah.
But it's going to catch up with us at some point.
Yes, correct.
And you still have the Sabbath Moment newsletter?
I do. It's a Sabbath Moment, and some people do the weekly, which is every Monday. And I also have a daily version from Tuesday through Friday that we changed since COVID. So some people, you can get it 5 days a week if you want. And it's a story of encouragement and an invitation to do the kind of things we've just been talking about. I call it emotional and spiritual hydration. You know, tell me where are the places for safety that ground you, that allow you to be at home in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, called Sabbath Moment. Anybody can get it. It's available, terryhershey.com.
Okay. So pretty much everything is at terryhershey.com.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Great. Well, I'm
Hershey
gonna
like chocolate.
Well, that's something to be grateful for, too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I'm going to post that on my website post, so people listening, if they aren't ready to write it down, they can go to my website later and get that and find out about all of your books and your daily and weekly blogs, which I find really extremely helpful, comforting, nourishing, as you said. I think, yeah, it's even the titles of your books remind us, right? The power
Thank
of
you.
Yeah. It's really important to remember those things, especially in this world that isn't just chaotic, but it's very fast, and people are always feeling like they have to go, go, go.
Yeah, it's the it is the fundamental reality of a world with hurry. That's why the book I wrote called The Gift of Enough is that fast isn't the only answer.
So,
and you, I mean, you know, it's what I say for people like you who do what you do, and the gift that you give is that I have a vested interest in doing what I can do to give gifts to people like you, because we need you in our world, that kind of thing. So I want all people who have gifts to make our world a brighter place. I want them to be at home in their skin.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's hard to do that if we're not feeling good. That's for sure.
Correct. Yeah.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Terry, for making the time to be on, and especially after you made the time 2 weeks ago and the technology failed. So thank you for coming back and trying again.
Well, thank you. As you know, I was raised in Southern Michigan, and most of my neighbors were Amish, so they understand the no technologies thing. So it's just fine. I get that.
And
so, anyway,
go on.
I said it was a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I look forward to speaking with you again. And meanwhile, I'll keep up with what you're writing.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Lena Bracke French will be here. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Dr. Mara's book, The Passionate Life, Creating Vitality and Joy at Any Age, is now available on Kindle and in paperback at Amazon. Don't forget to listen to Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years live from Austin, Texas, every Sunday on blogtalkradio.com.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in Your Golden Years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us from Connecticut, we went from the West Coast to the East Coast, is Lena Bracke French. And Lena is a caregiver, and she is the founder of the virtual caregiver support group, Caregiver's Voice. Welcome, Lena.
Hi, Mara. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the program this evening. I want to let you know there's a slight delay when we speak like this, so just good to keep that in mind. And I'm really interested in talking to a caregiver about your story, a little bit of your story, and then what led you to start this caregiver support group that is virtual and people can join from all over the place.
Sure. Just to give you a little background, my mother is, let's call it a patient. She has Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. My sister's actually the full-time caregiver of the family. I am part-time. I have the provider for the family. And I'm very lucky and blessed to have that support system. And my husband now, I got married a year ago, is part of the support group. So, you know, we have worked along other organizations like the Alzheimer's Association and helping out with talking to people who are just learning that their loved ones have Alzheimer's disease and trying to be like a source of support and information to how to take care of their loved ones or, you know, let's call it the patient. But over the time, I found that there was very little resource that could help the caregiver. And it's funny because I was listening to your conversation with Terry from before I joined, and he mentioned a lot the caregiver giving back to yourself, taking care of yourself. And to me, the essence of a caregiver, especially people that I know, and I have met several people like this in my lifetime, or like my sister, have this sort of like an innate ability to just give themselves to people to the point that I would describe her as an empath, which is not necessarily good, not for her at least. But it's such level of love, compassion, giving that my mother's got completely everything she needs. She has, you know, like from great doctors to the full-time care that my sister provides. Mom is good within the limitations, of course, of her disease. Mom is good. Mom is taken care of. But who is taking care of us? Who is taking care of my sister? Who is taking care of me? I have a small support group within my friends, within my own family, and my sister does too. But there have been moments, especially as we learn through the several stages, and I can talk about more a little bit later, but that the patient goes through that are brand spanking new to us. And these are things that it seems some people are not really telling us. Like if you go to a doctor, especially when they're first diagnosing their disease, it's very much along the lines of, oh yeah, that's normal. Oh yeah, they're gonna lose their memory. They may not remember who you are. Do you already have a plan for like if you need to move them to a nursing facility or not? So it's very vague, and it felt very cold towards us. Towards mom, everyone has been wonderful. And people are very, very caring and very loving. And as long as she's okay, we're okay. But I found myself exasperated one day. I do a lot of looking, reading, educating, connecting with people on LinkedIn because I find it a more professional sort of social media instead of just going into Instagram and whatnot. And I couldn't find anything that was geared for the caregiver. I kept reading all these posts of what to do, what not to do with the patient, not to say this, not to treat them this way. One of my favorites was never argue. And I think that was one day that I was having a really bad day. And I kind of got angry. And I'm like, I think I even just kind of let out of frustration a scream saying, very easy for you to say not to get angry, you know. Are you here? Are you here in this position? Are you here in this situation? And through the research that we had to do, because we felt alone. I mean, my sister had me. I had my sister. My husband was there trying to do what he could. But it was, even from the friends that we knew that had elderly parents, it's almost like you're alone. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand if it was that they didn't have the same experience or they didn't care, because I don't think it was not caring. They care about, obviously, their loved ones, but I couldn't understand why we had to find these things out. And we were lucky. I think it was my sister who brought up to me a couple of videos on YouTube from two different sources, which I mentioned to you when we chatted. One was, I think it was called Caregiver Trailblazers, which is this woman, and I think I could be mistaken. I don't know enough. But I believe she was a nurse in a facility for, you know, elderly people or some sort of situation that allowed her to have a lot of wisdom and tips that were actually guided towards the caregiver. But in such way, and it's such loving demeanor that even though some things were obviously for the good of the patient, they didn't seem to have the same energy that some of the posts that I was getting. It felt more, I understand that you're going to be frustrated. I'm going to, you know, we see that it's not easy for the caregiver. It was more like acknowledging us.
Right, believing you, like we were just talking about, like believing you and what you're going through.
Exactly, yes, and I know mm-hmm. that was part of your experience as well. And then there was this other channel, I do not know the name of the woman, but I can find it for you and share it with you later if you want to look into it yourself.
Sure.
That was, I think this woman must have been in her 40s, maybe early 50s, but I would say more 40s, and she was caring for her grandmother with dementia. I think it was Alzheimer's. And it showed a very ugly moment that made me cry and at the same time made me say, oh my God, we're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And is these very, in our case, not very often, but these very horrible moments of delusions that they mm-hmm. experience. And to those who might be new, who could be listening or who are, you know, not necessarily aware that this could be happening, delusion is basically just a false thought and feeling that they have, or it could be a dream mixed in with a bad memory, and it gets nicely mixed up in a person's brain, and it's then by the patient believed wholeheartedly with such passion that there is no way of trying to get around it without there being a very dramatic moment. And
right.
the sad part, or I would say the angering part to me, is not necessarily that it's dramatic. It's that it's dramatic for the patient while the patient is living it, and then it's gone because they forget. But that pain remains with you.
Right.
And so going into the whole not believing, your patient, your loved one, does not believe you. And it's not because they don't want to believe you. It's because the conviction is so solid in their mind that you cannot be really telling me the truth. And so we've managed, in our case, very luckily, to have proven to Mom in a few certain occasions that it was really not real. And so now she's able to tell us, did I dream this? Is this real?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say that that's the way it's going to be. This could change again. This is one of those things about Alzheimer's that doctors don't tell you until you've been in it long enough to be able for them to confirm, right, it's okay for now.
So
that may change.
So let me ask you, Lena. So because you were finding difficulty in finding people who actually focused on helping the caregiver rather than lecturing you about what to do and what not to do, is that why you created your own virtual support group?
Exactly. So I got to the point where I wanted to ask sort of like some of the many caregivers out there who are so experienced, or even people who reached out to me on DM and saying, you know, I read a little bit about your story. We're just finding out our own. Thank you for posting this. And because before I created the group, I was just creating posts. And I decided, let's see if there's anyone out there in the world, even if it's just one person, who could find some of what we're learning and sharing useful, and maybe they can share back. And my hope, and it still continues to be there, is that we can have a conversation back and forth. It's still not there yet, but that is the hope that I have.
How long have you had this group?
Several months, I think. It was actually January of this year that I started it.
So it's still pretty young. It's a pretty young group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an infant.
Yeah, so do you have a lot of people so far who have joined?
I have some members. People are very quiet. I think they're more interested in joining, reading, not always reacting. Some do. But I think that people sometimes may feel that they will be chastised for their comments. And one of the things that I have try to ensure on my channel is that if somebody shares something that is a little too personal, that they don't want to be quoted on or be seen on a channel like LinkedIn, I'm happy to remove their, you know, their identity and leave it as anonymous. I'm happy to do so, because I understand that sometimes you just might need to vent, and sometimes you actually have valid questions and comments.
Sure. So it's on LinkedIn. And so people need to be users of LinkedIn to get on, but that's easy.
Yes.
You don't do anything.
Yes.
And it's all over the country, correct?
Wherever LinkedIn is available. I've had people from, I think it was Turkey and I believe New Zealand reached out. So if they have a LinkedIn, profile, they'll be able to see it.
So it's all over the world. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And are there, like, rules? Have you set up rules? Like, I know on Facebook, if you join a group, there's, like, a rule. You'll be kicked out if you don't follow the rules of, like,
I created my own. Correct. I created my own set of requirements that I have posted on the group, so anybody who wants to join will see it. The intent is to have a kind communication, even when you're venting about your own issues. There's no wanting to hurt anyone else. It's rather sharing experiences, ideas, insight. At the same time, I approve and reject anyone, and I can kick anyone out that I feel is being unkind. Like I said in one of my posts, if I feel that you're sharing something that is not maybe necessarily in alignment with what I have on the group going on, but I still find it important and insightful, or know a group that can benefit from it, I will let you know, or I will share with them or in my own personal channel. Under the caregiver's voice, I really want to keep it for caregivers. And it doesn't have to be for people with Alzheimer's or neurodegenerative diseases. It doesn't have to be for anything specific other than just caring for another human being, because that on its own is so much work. It's also like a, sort of like a place to acknowledge and show gratitude and be grateful for those who do.
No, it's really important to find people who, you know, are going through it, like, you know, similar situation, and to share their experiences and things that they've learned that could be helpful, but also to just, like we were just talking before with Terry, just like being seen. That there are people who see you and understand what you feel, that somebody understands what you're going through.
And that's, I think that's actually one of the things that COVID highlighted, was the amount of work that nurses and caregivers provide, You know, it's some of these jobs have very little exposure to people, to the point that unless you need them, you don't really realize they're even alive. It's almost like going to get a coffee on a really crappy day, but you have that barista that makes the coffee just the way you need it, and that moment, that person is your favorite person, and you want to know their name and come back to that person because they went above and beyond and did exactly what you needed. But why do we have to wait until a situation like that? Why can't we just realize that, you know, we all have our own hurdle to work with in life, and some people are putting their own life on hold to make somebody else feel cared for and taken care of.
Right. So how can people find your group? What's the best way for listeners who are interested in becoming part of your group? What's the best way for them to find you?
So right now it would be the LinkedIn channel. It's something that I'm trying to figure out if I can link it into like another outside website so that it's more general on the internet. Right now it's been more a matter of finding the time to do it because of everything else going on or on my plate. But as of now, it is the Caregiver's Voice on LinkedIn, and they can just link or DM me on my personal profile. There is not a short link for it. I have tried, and it seems like it's this crazy long link. So it's just easier to maybe DM me directly, Lina Bracky -French on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to share the link there as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I will share both your link on LinkedIn and the link for the caregivers group. I'll share both of those on my website post about this show. So hopefully that will help.
Thank you, Mara.
Just go there and click on it. Okay.
That is the hope. Thank you so very much.
Yes. And thank you so much for being on the show. And I look forward to staying in touch with you. Okay.
Definitely will. Thank you again, Mara.
And good luck with the group. I hope it grows.
It will be great. I mean, like I said, if we can reach at least just one person in the world that can find it useful, then I'm happy with that.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, you have a very good evening, okay?
The same to you, Mara. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. Well, we have come to the end of another program. And before I let you go, let me let you know what's coming up next week. Sunday, August 11th, we'll be back with another live show. And we'll be joined by sleep specialist Dr. Avinash Bihar. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, listen to all my previous shows and read the information, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. And you can also hear this evening's show in 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And you can also hear it on Apple Podcasts in 5 minutes. And as I said, I'll be posting links on my website post about this show. That'll be later tonight if you're looking for it, and it'll be along with the podcast. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, to see any events that are coming up and future shows. This program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment and Psyched Up Productions. And I want to thank my guests, Terry Hershey and Lina Bracky French. And, of course, thank you to Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone. Stay safe.
Comes a time when you're all alone. Comes a time, gotta write that song. May not make any sense at all, but it's up to you to keep a smile on your face. Though I've been young mostly every day, just like you, don't you ever change. 'Cause this world's getting pretty old, and it's up to you, keep a smile on your face. Butterflies down.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any information on this program.